It is so good to see everyone. What an honor to be here and to the Lord allow us to worship Him. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for that song. That was a blessing. His sheep do hear His voice, and they follow Him wherever He goes, whatever valley, whatever heartache, whatever pain, He leads us. He knows what we need to teach us to trust Him. He knows exactly. I'm glad He does. I want to read, if you want to, go ahead and be turning your Bible to Psalms chapter 40. And I want to read the last two verses of that song that we sing, "The Sands of Time Are Sinking." Psalms chapter 40. The song says, "Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merit, I know no other stand, and even in when glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not glaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land." What a Savior. Psalm chapter 40. Some make reference to some psalms and call them messianic psalms. And to me, I think they're all messianic psalms. I think that whoever wrote the psalm, it could be them speaking and them experiencing what they're experiencing, and God inspired them to write it. But I believe most of all, if you miss Christ, you missed it. To think about Him saying these things, and we know that this scripture is, because Paul makes reference to it, this Psalms 40 in Hebrews 10, verse 5 through 7. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will." And here we are looking today in the volume of the book. And who are we coming to see? We're coming to see Him. He said in verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward." Now notice that. "Thy thoughts," His thoughts, "which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." God's wonderful works. And here it is, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ear hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required? Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. You go, well, surely that's not our Lord speaking. He had no iniquities. That's exactly right. He didn't. But somebody's got to bear yours. And he said here, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hair of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and out and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. So it seems his heart is just overflowing with praise to his God. But look at verse 17. But, that little conjunction word, but. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. He's saying and he's speaking in our behalf. We may not realize it. We may not comprehend it. But we are all by nature poor. When our father Adam in the garden sinned, he left us in total complete bankrupt. We have nothing of our own. We have no merit of our own. And here he says, I am poor and needy. How did he become poor? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, you just think sometimes how rich he is. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they are the children of God. He said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Our Lord, I want you to think about something just for a few minutes. Our Lord came to this world. What a wonderful work is that? That God would join himself to marry himself with human flesh and become poor. Born in a stable. Never owned a piece of ground. Didn't have a place to lay his head. Think about Larry. Everything they got's gone. Where are they going to lay their head? He never had a place. One man asked him one day, he said, I'll follow you wherever you go. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air, they have a nest. He said, I don't even have a place to lay my head. You still want to follow me? He depended upon the hospitality of others. Let me read you this. Turn to Luke chapter 8. And it was kind of ironic, as we read the first part of Luke 8, that this comes right after Luke 7. And what happened in Luke 7 right before this, remember when our Lord was invited to Simon's house and he said, "You didn't wash my feet, you didn't anoint my head," and this woman came in out of love for him and washed his feet with tears and dried it with the hair of his head. This man never offered him anything, but this woman showed him great love. But he depended upon the goodness of others. In Luke 8, verse 1, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered to him of their substance. Did he need things? Yes. He could have provided them for himself. He fed 5,000, but he never used a miracle for himself. He could have put it in someone's heart to build him a house, but he didn't. But he came to their house, and they ministered unto him. How's he going to survive? How are they going to get something to eat? How are they going to have all these things? Well, what do you need? You are poor. A lot of people may know they're poor, but they don't know they're needy. Are you needy this morning? Everyone in here are poor. We are all poor. And we are needy. You might not know you're needy, but we are needy. You know, what do we need? We need grace. We need mercy. We need kindness. We need forgiveness. We need reconciliation. We need peace with God. We need rest with God. And we could go on. Needy. Poor. Needy. How did our Lord walk in this world? He walked by faith. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha. What did she do? She invited him to her house. She said, "Lord, would you come over to my house for dinner?" And she had a sister named Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. He went over to their house. Why? Because we by nature are poor and needy. As I was talking to Rex earlier, he's able to be felt with the feelings of our infirmities. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I have this, I know he does. I know he does. When he was crucified, they stripped him of everything. And when he died, they buried him in a borrowed tomb. Our Lord came to this world to identify with his people. He came to save his people. Listen to Isaiah 41, verse 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. So that's a poor, needy man. He's thirsty for water, and there is none. We are blessed. We are blessed. You are blessed to have had a pastor that brought you the water of life. Most people don't have a clue. You drink of the waters of this world, you'll thirst again. But you drink of his water, you'll never thirst. But it said the needy seek water, and there's none. And their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel. Now you get this. I won't forsake you. I won't forsake you. I want you to turn to Ezekiel 16. Just bear with me. I want to show you something. Someone pointed this out the other day in our church. I've never seen it before. Ezekiel 16, verse 48. If I mention the word Sodom this morning, there's something that comes to your mind. first thing that's going to come to our mind, that's what we're going to think about. Now watch this. In Ezekiel 16, verse 48, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done." He said Sodom didn't do like Israel did, "thou and thy daughters. Now behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." He said, this is her iniquity. Pride. Would that have been the first one you would have thought about? Not me. Pride. Seven things that the Lord hates. A proud look. Fullness of bread. An abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. Out of her pride brought all those other things, but then the charge against them was they did not strengthen or help the poor and the needy. They are haughty, and they commit abominations before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Sodom is charged with pride, luxury, idleness, uncharitableness. And these, someone said, were sufficient to sink any city to the bottomless pit. Have no compassion or have no for the poor and the needy. But our Lord did. Our Lord did. They refused to help strangers. The poor is hated even of his neighbor in Proverbs 14:20. But the rich hath many friends. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You know what our Lord did? He showed mercy. You know what you need this morning? What you need, now you get this, what you need this morning is mercy. If God don't show you mercy, you'll perish. You need mercy. You may not know it, but you need it. His mercy is new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It endures forever, his mercy. He hath mercy on the poor in spirit and bankrupt. Luke, if you would turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 12. You know, the common people heard our Lord gladly. You know, we're not just talking about physical or material wealth. We're talking about something that's spiritual. Well, what's in a man's heart? Out of the heart, we're going to be talking about thoughts in a man. Out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts. What did that man think of our Lord? He didn't show him any mercy. Our Lord looked like any other Jewish man. He said, I don't need to wash his feet. I don't need to anoint his head. Big deal. I could care less. I know of one who cares. Cares. It said, our Lord said, and he said also to him that bade him, verse 12 of Luke 14, "When you make a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors." Now that's who we would have invited. "But when thou makest a feast, you call the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. For they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." And then James, in chapter 2, verse 1. "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If there come unto you an assembly with a man with a gold ring or godly apparel, goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and you say unto him, why don't you come up here and sit on the front row? Sit thou here in a good place. And you say to the poor, we don't have any more seats. Why don't you stand up in the back? Who's he writing to? Last time I checked, he's writing to me and you. You say, oh, we would never do that. Like I said, when I read you that in Ezekiel about Sodom, what was the first thing that came to our mind? We say, we need to run back there and talk to him. We need to speak to him. Oh, come on up. You just slide on over. We're going to make a spot for him. What you need to do is make this man stand in the back and put that poor man up on the front. That's what our Lord said, and that's what our Lord did. He went to the poor and the needy. He sat and ate with publicans and sinners. He said in James, are you not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thought? You know how they treated him? Just like that. He's despised and rejected of men. They saw no beauty in him that they would desire him. They said, he's nothing. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That man? They spit in his face, rejected him. And all men forsook him. The psalmist said, I am poor and needy. But that's not the end of it. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Do you know when he wrote this book, he had you in mind? I read something from Spurgeon the other day, and it really blessed my heart. I'd never thought about it. Well, you know when God created everything. He created everything. Everything. He created the sun, the moon, the trees, everything before he made man. When he created everything, who did he have in mind? Well, I know he had Christ our Lord in mind, but he had Adam in mind. He thinketh upon me. What will Adam need? Well, here's what he'll need. And everything that he needed, God provided. And he had him. You think about that. Boy, don't that flower smell good? Oh, look at that sunshine. Oh, look at all the beautiful plants. And then look at the wife he gave me. We have spouses. He said he's going to make him a help meet for him. You know why? He needed one. He needed someone to love, and God made him a bride for him. I know our Lord don't mean anything. But God made him a bride for his son. And he said, I'm going to become poor and needy for her. Do you know Adam was not deceived? When he partook of the fruit, he knew exactly what he was doing. He said, I love her so much. I'm going to be identified with her. I'm going to be bankrupt for her. And he did. Knew exactly what he was doing. He was not deceived. He knew what God said. And out of love for his bride, he said, this is what I want. And out of love for his bride, our Lord came here to save the poor and the needy. You know, our Lord, even in the Old Testament, you know, he made stipulations for the poor. He said, when you reap the harvest of your land, Leviticus 23:22, thou shalt not glean all the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord you're gone. And you know, I bet Ruth appreciated that day. She's a Moabite. Her husband's dead. She has no one to take care of her. It's just her and Naomi. And Naomi says, here's what we can do. We're just two old poor widows. Needy widows. We got to have something to eat. What are we going to do? She said, well, go out there and the law says that if we're poor, that we have the right to glean at the corners of the field. And she just happened on Boaz. You know what that means, that word happened? It happened on purpose. It happened because God ordained it. She's aware just, you know what she's pitched. You know what gleaners do? They bend down and they pick up. Always looking down, just picking up what's left. Here's a little crumb. But that day, somebody come riding up. And she goes, who in the world's that? I said, that's Boaz. He owns the field. But God made stipulations. You know why? We would have gathered the whole field. We wouldn't have left one grain of corn. He said, even if you forget a bag, don't go back and pick it up. She's poor and needy. Yet, Boaz thought of her. You know what he said? He said, you drop handfuls on purpose. I pray today that God would drop a handful on purpose. Just for you. Oh, our gracious Lord. But you know this world. See, he said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. You know, the world doesn't give our Lord a second thought. He said in Psalms 10, verse 4, the wicked to the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in any of his thoughts. When the world does have any thoughts about God, they're all wrong. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And you know what they think, what their thoughts are? Psalms 49:11, their inward thought is that their house shall continue forever, and their dwelling place to all generations, and they call their land after their name. I'd heard of Robert C. Byrd before I ever moved to West Virginia. But when you go to West Virginia, every other street is named after Robert C. Byrd, who was in Congress or Senate something for 50 some years. But you know what I found out? You know where that man was born? That man was not born in West Virginia. That man was born in a place called North Wilkesboro, North Carolina. His mother is buried in the cemetery across from where we had church. But what I'm getting at, oh, they got to name everything after him so we'll be remembered as Robert C. Byrd. It says, the rich man, Lazarus and the rich man both died, and Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Not the rich man, he was buried. He wanted to be remembered. They want to call their lands after themselves. Most of us are going to be forgotten pretty quick. But if my Lord purchased me, he never forgets you. He's thinking upon you this morning. There's so many examples of this. I thought about Joseph. His brothers hated him. Despised him just exactly the way they hated our Lord. Remember, they sold him into slavery. He was in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife lied on him, and then he was cast into prison. And when he was cast into prison, you remember when the butler came out, Joseph said, would you remember me? And he never gave him another thought for 2 years. But then God in His mercy, He brings Joseph out, and there's corn in Egypt, and Joseph's brothers have to come to Egypt to get corn, and they don't recognize Joseph. I wonder the thoughts that are going through Joseph's mind. They probably have forgot about what they've done. He remembers. And here his brothers came to him one day in Genesis chapter 15. Now listen to this, verse 18. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we are thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not." Two precious words. Joseph could have had those boys killed. They deserved to be killed for how they treated him. He said, "Fear not. For am I in the place of God? But as for you," now you listen to this, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring to life as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, and I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He always had them on his mind. And he said, "Don't you be afraid. We thought evil against our Lord, but he meant it for good." He said, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Here's how men think. Here's their thoughts. There was a man named Naaman one time. Naaman the Syrian. He was a leper, honorable man. You know what? You imagine what everybody thought about him. Boy, he's something. I bet you he had medals all the way down his chest. But he was a leper. He didn't want anybody to know he was a leper. He wanted to keep it hid. And just so happened that they had captured this little girl in the army when they were out fighting. She's in his house and she finds out he has leprosy. And she's a Jew. And she tells the mother of the house, she said, "There's a prophet in Israel. If Mr. Naaman would get to that prophet, he may heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman acts on what he hears, and he gets his papers together from the king, and he goes to the prophet's house. Well, he first goes to the king, because that's what he thought. He thought, "I'll get favor through the king." And Elisha hears about it, and he said, "You call him, tell him to come to my house." And can you imagine this man and all these men riding up with him? He, you know, they all think he's something. And he walks up on the porch and knocks on the door. And Elisha don't even go to the door. He just sent him word by a servant. He said, "Go tell Naaman, if he wants to be healed, you go up there to this Jordan River and you bow down and you dip yourself seven times." And he said, "I ain't going to do it." You know why? He said, I thought this is what he'd do. I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over me. I thought he'd do some big show. Yeah, that's what we think. Our ways are not his ways. But thank goodness he thinks upon you. He knew what that man needed. That man was poor, but he didn't know he really needed anything. You know what he needed? He needed to be humbled. Can you imagine walking up there to that river? His servant said, "Well, if he told you to do some great thing, you would have done it." He said, "All he told you to do was go wash in that Jordan River." But I can see him when he walks up to that Jordan River and he starts pulling his coat off. All of his medals, and he has to lay them down. And I can see him pull his shirt off and his body covered in them old ulcers, just runny sores. And he went down in the river. And God healed him. And our Lord even preached a message from that one day. He said there was many lepers in Israel in the days of Elisha the prophet. But he never healed a single one of them. You know who he had in mind? He had Naaman. When he sent a little girl to that man's house, he had Naaman in mind. He thought, "The Lord thinketh of him." The Lord thinketh upon me. We are poor and needy. Do you see yourself as poor and needy? You know, that had to be humiliating to Naaman. I don't want people to see this. I'm ashamed of it. And he's standing there, exposed to everyone. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Do you see yourself as blind Bartimaeus, a poor, blind beggar? Somebody had to carry him out there every day and just sit him beside the road. He'd sit there and beg. And one day he heard, Jesus is coming by. And he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Everybody said, shh, you need to be quiet. What do you think you're doing? He knew exactly what he was doing. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Son of God stopped in his tracks. You imagine stopping the Son of God? And he said, bring him to me. When our Lord went that way that day, he had one man in mind. Blind Bartimaeus. This man, poor and needy. It'd be bad enough to be a beggar, but be blind? That's us. You know what blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, means? He was the son of a blind man. You know what? We are all born children of a blind man. We're all born spiritually blind. Notice there, we're mentioned in verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Who is the usward? It makes me think that he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's having reference to his elect. I think it was Spurgeon said, why our Lord is addressing his Father as Jehovah, his God, our Lord speaks of the members of his family. Usward. What's it say? That thy thoughts which are to usward. Divine thoughts come with divine acts. For it is not according to God's wisdom to act without deliberation and counsel. Everything he does it on purpose. He did it, if you want to say, with forethought. Like I said, when he made the earth, he had in his mind what he wanted to bring about. And I can tell you this, this world may seem like it's in a mess, but everything's going along to God's counsel and God's thought. He had you in mind. God's going to save his people. And it ain't like we think. It's not going to be like what we thought. How's he going to save Israel? He's going to send Joseph to Egypt. And he said, all the divine thoughts are good and gracious toward his elect. God's thoughts of love are very many, very wonderful, and very practical. In Psalms 139, if you want to turn there, just a few more scriptures. Psalms 139, verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. And I don't understand what all this means. I'm just going to read it. Thou understandest not my thoughts, my thought afar off. Before I think it, when I think it, and when I have even forgot it, thou dost understand my every thought. You imagine you see it by yourself and all these thoughts come through your mind. Nobody else knows your thoughts. But to think about this, He knows your thoughts. He knew those men that day. In their thoughts, they were saying, there's nothing to this man. It said He knew their thoughts. To think He knows your thought, not thoughts, your thought, afar off. I would like to sit down and you explain it. Verse 17 of the same chapter. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more than number than the sand, and when I wake, I am still with thee. There's good news. How precious are His thoughts unto His people. Some people would not give you the time of day or a second thought. But how precious are His thoughts, not just to Shelby, but unto me. Unto me. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And I have as I have purposed, so shall it stand. When our Lord thinks upon you, now you think about this. He is perfectly acquainted with your situation. He's acquainted with your dangers, and He's acquainted with your wants. Mr. Spurgeon said, some cry, well, I'm poor and needy. Woe is me that I should be so. But the Lord, he said, you ever felt this way? That the Lord doesn't think upon me. I looked up to the heavens, but no eye of pity looked down upon me in the depths of misery. He said, many a wretched mind, many a bereaved spirit, many a downcast heart has cried, the Lord hath forgotten hath forgotten me. He counted the number of the stars and He calls them by name. But as for me, I'm too little, too insignificant, too obscure that I cannot believe that God would think upon me. You remember that His thoughts are not just empty thoughts. They break out into words. Would you like to know what He thinks towards you? This reveals His thoughts. How do we know what God thought? How do we know what God thought before the foundation of the world? We chose a people. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. It wasn't some afterthought. God didn't say, well, I messed that up. I got to come up with plan B. No. Everything was the fulfilling of God's thought toward His Son and toward His people. Someone said, you read each line as if it were freshly written, and it will make you say, I am poor and needy. I see by this book I'm poor and needy. I see by this book that I need Him. But I also see by this book that He had us in mind. You think, I'm so glad that it's written in English. I'm glad that it's not written in Germany. I can't read German. He had you in mind. He had you in mind. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me, and here are His thoughts. May God give us all faith to look to our Lord and rest in Him for everything. Amen.